If you would grab your Bibles tonight and turn with me to Isaiah chapter number 26. Isaiah chapter number 26, and we're going to look at verse number 3 and 4 together. Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. And if you would you stand with me out of respect for the reading of God's Word? And since these verses are fairly familiar to us, and we've heard them once already tonight, I would like for us to read them in unison together. Can we do that, church? Yes. Amen. All right, Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. Read them together in unison, if you would. The Bible says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, and in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Father, tonight, as we come to your word, I pray for these next few moments that you would give us, Father, just clarity of attention and, Father, focus of heart, that we would receive and respond to what you have for us tonight. Lord, I pray that your word would not return void in my life or in any other under the sound of my voice tonight. We love you. We thank you for your word. And Father, trust you to do great things among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm going to start with a little informal survey tonight. It's going to require an element of crowd participation, and a level of honest crowd participation. How many of us tonight would admit that there is some area in our life that we love to be in control of? How many of us would say, you know what, that's me. There's at least one area of my life that I love to be in control of. And by the way, just a little side note, this isn't part of the message, it's free. When I asked that question, if you wanted to raise your spouse's hand, you got real issues. I digress. I mean, for you, perhaps it's the folding of the towels. The towels have to be folded a certain way. There is a right way and a wrong way to fold towels. Now, don't look at your spouse. Eyes up here, everybody. Perhaps for you, it's money. And there's a right way to budget. There's a wrong way to budget. And buddy, you've got to know every dollar and cent by your mechanisms and means. Perhaps for you, it's Tupperware. I have a place for Tupperware wherever it lands when I throw it in the cabinet. Others in my family have different philosophies. Perhaps for you, it's mowing the lawn. I'll tell you, for me, the Tupperware doesn't have to be straight, but the lines in the front yard better. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. That was weak. Perhaps we're hover parents. We hover over our children and micromanage them because we're afraid if they go to school one day without their hair brushed, that their entire future would be in jeopardy. I think most of us would have to admit that there are areas of life that we love to have control over. And I think we also have to pause and admit, as we consider even those humorous examples, that problems begin to arise when you and I try to control things in our life that either don't belong to us, try to control things in our life that are honestly unnecessary, or try to control things in our lives that are humanly unknowable or uncontrollable. I'm going to offend somebody tonight, but there's not a right way and a wrong way to fold towels. When I got married, I thought there was, but I have since learned differently. There's not. You know, you think about things that are outside of our control. Consider with me your health. You know, there's a lot of things that we can do to try to control our health. But can we, at the end of the day, exercise absolute control over our health? No. And when you and I begin to try to control things that don't belong to us, things that don't really mean anything, things that are unknowable or even beyond our control, do you know what happens? The more we try to control things, the more territorial we get. If you're concerned about the towels, do you know what's going to happen when you get home? You're going to walk to where the linen closet is, and you're going to check the stinking towels. Because the more you try to control, the more territorial you get.
What happens, the more territorial we get, the more we fear losing control, the more we fear losing control, the more we try to control, and at the end of the day, the less peace we actually have. Tonight I want us to consider this thought. Pursuing peace, but dealing with this, specifically control issues. Control issues. Because if we're honest tonight, our desire for peace through control often yields anything but. And so tonight we're going to look at these control issues, if you will, learn what they are and how to address them as we seek to pursue God's peace in this life. Look with me at Isaiah 26, verse number 3 again. The Bible reminds us, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Would you consider with me as well tonight Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. This was a verse that I was going to preach on in the Christmas season era before the Rona done took me out. But Isaiah 9, 6 says this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father." Say the last one with me, church. "The Prince of Peace." Now, how many of us know that sometimes we are tempted to think in this life that I could only have peace if only that other person would fill in the blank. You know, I could have peace if only that other person hadn't fill in the blank. And a lot of times we're tempted to think that we could only have peace if some other person had done some other thing. Now, let me tell you tonight that our peace is foundationally dependent upon someone else. It's just not the person you're thinking of. It's not your spouse. It's not your kids. It's not your boss. It's not your neighbor. Our peace, though, is foundationally and fundamentally dependent upon another. Well, who is it? Well, look at the verse. Verse number 3. What does it say? It says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." Let me ask you a question. Who is the thou in that verse? Who is it? It's not a trick question. It's God. It's God. In other words, producing peace is not your job. In other words, producing peace is not your spouse's job. It's not your kid's job. It's not your boss's job. It is God's job. I love Isaiah 9, 6, the verse we read earlier. The end of the verse describes him as the Prince of Peace. He is that Prince, a peaceful Prince. Jesus' domain, Jesus' kingdom is the realm of peace. You know what Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse number 27? He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You see, the peace that comes from King Jesus is very different than the peace that comes from anybody or anything else. Because the Prince of Peace is just different. And so producing peace is not your job. It's God's job. And isn't it wonderful, church, that this realm of peace, that the Prince of Peace reigns over, this realm of peace was secured not with bloody conquest, but with his bloody sacrifice on the cross for you and I. And I want you to consider this tonight as we consider the Prince of Peace. Peace is his domain. He is the Prince of Peace. Peace is his kingdom. Peace is under his rule. And so the issue we have here is when you and I want to secure and control our own peace, what are we doing? In essence, we are putting ourselves in the place of God. Thou wilt keep him and perfect peace. Stop tonight and consider the Prince of Peace. That this peace that we desire, this peace that we want, this peace that we long for, it belongs to Him. It is His kingdom, His realm, His space, His dominion, His reign. Consider the Prince of Peace. I want you to look back at Isaiah 26, verse number 3 again. The Bible says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." So we've got to start with the Prince of Peace. We've got to start with the one whose job it is to produce and to provide the peace in our hearts and lives. But having considered the Prince of Peace, could we consider tonight the price of peace? "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, for he trusteth in thee." You know, church, it logically follows tonight that if he is the Prince of Peace, that we then ought to be good subjects or citizens in his kingdom. Now, in other words, when I look at Isaiah 26:3, the Bible says God is keeping the man in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. In other words, he is to supply and we are to be stayed. Now, that word stayed simply means this. It means to be settled. It means to lean upon, to rest upon, to be settled on, to be upheld by. A great example of it is you right now in the pew. You are settled into the pew. If that pew were to give out, every single one of you would end up in the floor. There's not a one of you sitting in the pew like this. I mean, ready to go. Because you're settled. You're stayed upon the pew. And so the Bible is teaching that God's job is to secure the peace. Our job is to be stayed on him. In other words, the price of peace for you and I is to trust in or surrender to the Prince of Peace. How important that is for us to recognize that the price of peace is for us to trust in, surrender to the Prince of Peace. A verse that we hear all the time, but I think bears a fresh look. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." So the price of peace is trust, is surrender. In church tonight, could I point out that the price of peace, the price of real peace, is rooted in real relationship. Consider this tonight as well. Within relationships, you can have control or you can have closeness, but you really can't have both. You can exercise absolute control, or you can work to foster closeness, but you have a real hard time having both. And recognizing our relationship with God is no different. That we can seek to have control, and we can seek to manipulate, and we can seek to do all the things we think we need to do to gain our own peace, or we can develop closeness with God and learn to trust him. I find it interesting in verse number 6 there of Proverbs 3, that word acknowledge, it means more than to just recognize existence. It has a far greater connotation of intimacy involved. In fact, forms of that Hebrew word are the same forms that are used when it communicates that Adam knew his wife Eve. and she conceived. You see, it's more than just, yes, God, I recognize you exist, so now I'm going to go do that. No, it demands that we foster a closeness of relationship. Because the price of peace, the price of peace that allows the Prince of Peace to keep us in perfect peace, is that we learn to trust in and surrender to Him. Peace, then, is not so much a matter of circumstance, but a matter of confidence. Think that through with me. Peace, then, is not so much a matter of circumstance, but a matter of confidence. I think one illustration stood out recently. My wife and I and my kids, we did some traveling during some of those recent snowstorms that we were having. And went up and down and all over the place a couple of days through the snow. And it was blowing and blowing and this and that and that. And I was driving. And I tell you, by the time I got home, I think I was like stuck in this position because I was so tense the entire time. You know, craned over the wheel, doing a whole 25 miles per hour. Kind of gently glide through the drifting snow. My kids are in the back seat the whole time. Stop it, stop it, stop it. Who want to do this? Pass me that book. I want to color this. Why don't we sing this song? And I'm like, what's wrong with you people? They didn't have a care in the world. They were totally chilled. Now, I wasn't, but they were. You know, and the difference was, they had no reason not to have absolute confidence in what was taking place. For right or wrong, they had a lot of confidence in the guy behind the wheel. My problem was I didn't have any confidence in the people behind the other wheels. That was my problem. But it struck me. And that's what this verse is saying here. It's not saying that when we stay our minds on Him and we learn to trust Him and we develop intimacy with Him, it doesn't mean that all our problems go away, and it doesn't mean that all of our pain goes away, and it doesn't mean that our grief goes away. It doesn't mean that the illness goes away. It doesn't mean that it all goes away. It's not about our circumstances. It's about our confidence within. It's about the fact that there's something within us that knows that my God is going to work all things together for good. To them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose, that the Lord God is a sun and shield, that the Lord will give grace and glory, that no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. And so many of the other verses that you all mentioned tonight. Because peace then is not so much a matter of circumstance, but a matter of confidence. Another word for confidence is simply faith and trust. And that, church, is the price of peace. See, the writer says in our text, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. You see, once we've come to know the Prince of Peace, and once we've come to recognize the price of peace, then you and I as believers can truly begin to live in the place of peace. You know what the place of peace is? It is, as verse 4 said, trusting in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. The place of peace is knowing His person. And it's not that it doesn't hurt on the outside anymore. And it's not that there's not confusion on the outside anymore. And it's not that I don't suffer. And it's not that I don't get discouraged. All of these are normal emotions that we as fallen human beings struggle with. We struggle with discouragement. Occasionally we struggle with doubt. Occasionally we struggle with all of these other things. There is chaos in our world, and very often there is chaos around our lives. Or am I the only one? It's not that the chaos doesn't exist. It's that I am convinced that God can handle it and work it for his purposes. It's not that the chaos doesn't exist. It's just my confidence in God is greater than the chaos around me. It's the recognition that God is worthy of my trust. It is the declaration that my God can do anything but fail. Yeah, it looks dark. Yeah, it looks like there's a rough road ahead. Yes, it looks like there's a lot of things I don't understand. But it's that unshakable confidence that no matter how dark it looks ahead, my God can do anything but fail. He is worthy of my trust. And I'm going to tell you, church, order matters. It is about knowing his person. It is about knowing his person. You know, we all want Philippians 4:7. Philippians 4:7 simply says this, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." How many of us want that tonight? How many of us want the peace of God to keep, to guard, to set up defense around our heart and mind? Yeah, I want that. But in order to get to verse 7, guess what verse you have to go through? Verse 6. That we are to be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In other words, before I get the peace of God, I have to have confidence in God. Come through Philippians 4:6 before I ever get to Philippians 4:7. It's about knowing the place of peace is knowing his person. The place of peace, hear me, is about knowing my place. We've joked about it, but the reality is I am a citizen. I am not the king. I am not the king. I am not the king. You know, certain things belong to my realm of responsibility, but certain things do not. And if I'm honest tonight with you, the vast majority of things, so much of what robs me of my peace, which robs me of my inward confidence that God's going to be able to take this and do something with it to accomplish his purposes, so much of what robs me of my peace doesn't belong to me anyways. At least not in the way I'm trying to carry it. You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7, it says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." That idea of cast, it has the idea of, is a sudden, deliberate throw. That I take what I am seeking to carry, what I am seeking to control, but what is robbing me of my peace and my confidence in God, and I take it and I cast it on him. I throw it on him, knowing that he cares for me. And so it's about knowing his person, but it's also about understanding my place. So here we go. Control issues tonight. Here's the question we have to ask. This thing that I'm trying to carry, this thing that I am trying to control, this thing that I am trying to work my peace in, here's the question: to whom does this thing belong? Well, it depends. To hearken back to a previous example, folding the towels. Whoever has enough initiative to get them out of the dryer, that's who it belongs to. You know, there are elements of my health that are my responsibility. I shouldn't eat Marco's pizza every night and then ask the Lord to cure me of all the diseases that I get after 5 or 10 years of that. I probably shouldn't sit on my couch and play video games for 45 hours a week and then ask the Lord to help my sore back. There are certain elements of my health that are my responsibility. There are certain other elements of my health that I can't control. You know what I can't control? I can't control if David Weirich comes to shake my hand and accidentally sneezes in my face. I can't control that. I hope he'd never do that, not on purpose. I feel it coming. I'm going to tell you, something like that happened by accident today, you're liable to have somebody lose their mind. It's funny, except in our society, it's not. I can't control who's touched a product at the supermarket before I have. I can't control other people's. I can't control all of those things. I can't control who puts on what, where, when, why, and how. I can't control. So when I try to control him and you and how everybody does everything because I just have to protect myself, guess what I'm not going to have? I'm not going to have any peace. And I'm going to blame you and you and you and you and you and you and you. But the reality is I don't have any peace because I'm trying to be him. Let me give you another one. The past. You know, there are certain things about the past that a lot of people are still holding on to, trying to control, trying to manipulate, trying to work, trying to have their will forced. They're not willing to let go. I'm going to tell you, some of that might be your responsibility. Some of that might be you've done somebody wrong and you know it and you need to man up, woman up, and you need to make it right. Some of it might just be you need to let go and let God be God and you not try to be God. Some of it tonight might have to do with the future. What am I going to eat? Where am I going to live? What clothes am I going to put on? How am I going to survive? We've talked about this on Sunday nights, haven't we? We're better than a bird. If God takes care of the birds, if God takes care of the grass, he's going to take care of us. What are we to pray for? We are to pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Not, Lord, give me this day a fully funded 401k. No, my daily bread. What does Paul say? Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. By the way, that's next week's message as we pursue peace. Contentment. See, I have to ask, to whom does this belong? You know, there are some single people who are wishing they could find a spouse. Well, whom does ultimately that belong to? Belongs to the Lord, right? Good philosophy I've heard is you be the right one, God will bring the right one. It's a good philosophy. I like it. It's not original to me, but I like it, so I'll use it. So ultimately, a lot of it's in God's hands. Some of it's our responsibility. Put Pokemon Go down. Right? Quit playing Pokemon Go all the time. Get out there. Let the Lord do his work. So we have to ask the question, to whom does this belong? As we consider this idea of pursuing peace, here's how we have to respond. If it's my responsibility, I have to receive responsibility to do what God has given me to do. If it's not my responsibility, I have to relinquish control. No matter how much I want it, no matter how much it hurts, I have to relinquish control because I'm a citizen, not the king. To whom does this belong? You know, as I have asked that question personally, what I have found is most of the time, the thing that robs me of my peace doesn't belong to me to begin with. It belongs to God. One of the characters in the Old Testament, one of the accounts of the Old Testament that has always astounded me is the account of Joseph. You want to talk about a man who'd been done wrong? It was Joseph. You want to talk about a man who had suffered loss? I mean, been ripped away from his family? Joseph. You want to talk about a man who'd been betrayed, lied about? Joseph. You want to talk about a man who probably felt belittled because he was forgotten? It was Joseph. And then when Joseph had the just the perfect opportunity to have everything in his control and exact it all to his heart's content. You know what Joseph's response was? Genesis 50 and verse number 19. He told his brothers who'd done him so wrong. He said, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God." Verse number 20, he says this. He says, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good." You know what that is? That's a man who knew his person, who knew the person of the Prince of Peace. That's a man who knew his place. And I'm going to tell you, in a world that does not know peace, you and I can know perfect peace, his perfect peace, but it requires that we deal with our control issues. You know, some of us tonight, we don't have a lot of peace because we're burdened for somebody in our life. Maybe it's a spouse that's away from God. Maybe it's a child or a grandchild that's away from God. And we are so burdened for them that we can't ourselves seem to get on track. I'll tell you tonight, we need to ask the question, to whom does this belong? You know, there are some who are just so concerned about the future. What's going to happen with COVID? What's going to happen with unrest in America? What's going to happen with politics? What's going to happen with yada, yada? Where is this all going to go? And they are so just consumed and worried about figuring out the future. We got to ask a question tonight. To whom does tomorrow belong? There are some tonight that don't have peace because they are so holding on. Maybe it's a hurt that's been done to you. Maybe it's a loss that you have experienced. But we are so holding on and trying to manage and manipulate, and we just don't want to let. We need to ask ourselves, to whom do these things belong? Because sustained peace is not possible apart from a right recognition of and right relationship with God, because his person and his power are the only things in this universe that will never, ever fail. If you want to put your trust in money, it will eventually fail you. If you want to put your trust in your health, it'll eventually fail you. In your plans, they will fail you. In your influence, they will fail you. In your stuff, they will fail you. In the people around you, they will fail you. But God and his power and his plan will never, ever, ever fail you. I'll tell you this in closing. It's not just being persuaded that God can handle the weight of issues in general, but it is being absolutely persuaded that God can handle the weight of my issues specifically. He can handle my burden, my family, my finances, my loss, my yesterday, my tomorrow. One of the things I like to do, if I remember, I like to get up out of my chair about 11:30. And I like to go to the gym because that's where all the little boogers are having lunch. And I got three little boogers. They're not so little, but they're still down there. And I like to go down there, and I like to give them hugs. I like to talk to them. How's your day going? What'd you do? What'd you learn? Nothing. Okay. But Maddie in particular today, when Maddie saw me, she got out of her seat and made a beeline across the gym, and she ran and just jumped. You know what? When she ran, she jumped, and she latched on. She wasn't worried about whether or not I could handle what she threw at me. She was just worried about getting to me. Some of us tonight, if we're going to concern ourselves with anything, it ought to be that we concern ourselves with just getting to our Abba, our Father, the Prince of Peace. Because the Bible has promised, hasn't it, that thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Perfect peace, it's available. But some of us tonight, by the grace of God, need to deal with some control issues first.
Would you stand with me tonight, heads bowed and eyes closed? Tonight, as our musician comes, the invitation is very simple. This is one of those where the Holy Spirit applies very specifically and very personally to our own hearts and lives. And the invitation tonight is, as the Holy Spirit has searched your heart, tried your thoughts, as the Holy Spirit has brought things to light in your life, will you be faithful in this time to respond to God? Some of us need to ask tonight, to whom does this belong? And we need to leave it with its rightful owner.